السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, tonight being one of the days of the holidays, most of our regular clients are on holiday. However, this program was confirmed for the sake of my young friends who are on school holidays, and they requested that we should have a few minutes at least. So with that niyat, inshallah, we will have a short program. So it will be very light, it will not be something heavy. What I have decided is to convey to you something that the Quran Sharif and the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam discuss, and that is examples. The Quran Sharif gives many, many examples, similes, parables to explain the different phenomena. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala explains it very, very simply and easily by giving examples. In the same way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also gives many examples. And the Sahaba-i Kiram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, in their lives also we find that when they delivered their bayans or their waz or their khutbas, then they gave simple little examples. So tonight I will just discuss three or four examples of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just to convey to you that how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained very difficult issues to those who were ordinary Bedouins, and made them understand and realize the oneness and the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, made them realize what is the Akhirat, what is Jannat, what is Jahannam, what is the purpose of life on this earth, what is the value of Salat, what is the value of Zakat, what is the value of Hajj, what is the value of fasting, by simple little examples. If we have to discuss or go into detail, we can get volumes. But something that just comes to mind, which is very, very simple and easy to understand, let us first of all take the example of Salat. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked a question, that if there is a stream, a river, a brook that is running in front of somebody's home, and the person has to have a bath in that stream, in that water, 5 times a day, will any dirt remain on his body? The Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in replied that no dirt will remain on such a person's body. 5 times a day, if the person is having a bath, how can there be any dust and dirt left on his body? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the person who performs his salat 5 times a day, just as no dirt remains on that person's body who has a bath 5 times a day, this person who performs his salat 5 times a day, then no sins will remain on him. Now look at the example that he gave, simple to understand. Many times I've explained that it does not mean that the person is making salat so all sins are maaf. Now it doesn't matter what he does. He can commit all the sins under the sun and then just make 5 times salat and everything will be maaf. It doesn't mean that. The Sahaba Kiram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, how they understood it, that is how we must understand it. That in their lives there was no question of consistency and persistency in sins. They were not persistent. They did not continue. Accidental sins, just here and there you will find something in the Hadith Sharif. But not like us, that we just go on and on and on. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains to them that those sins, those minor sins that a person just commits, if he's going to make his wuzu, some sins will get washed out with that. If he's going to make his namaz, all the other sins will get wiped out with that. And that person will become pak and clean, just like that person who is having a bath 5 times a day. Now he explained this to the Sahaba ikram very, very simply, and they understood it, and they made sure that their namazes were performed 5 times a day. They were performing the salat as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had demonstrated it to them, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." So just as they saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam perform, they also performed it in a similar manner, with that same khushu and khuzu and all the other adab and etiquette that goes with salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion, he picked up a branch which had dry leaves, and he shook that branch. The leaves all fell off. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that just as these leaves fell off this branch, these dry leaves, just as they fell off this branch and nothing is left, in the same way a person who undertakes Hajj, his sins drop off and fall off, like how these leaves fell off from this branch. Now look at the beautiful little example, but what great meaning it conveys. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam once asked the Sahabas a question. He said that if 2 very hungry wolves are let loose in a herd of goats, 2 very hungry wolves, if you let them loose, so what damage will they cause? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told they will cause considerable damage. You think they are going to leave those goats? They will tear them up, they will devour them, they will make kebabs of them, and they will make minced keema of them. But they won't leave anything. These wolves are not going to leave anything, they are going to devour everything. They are going to really make a meal of those goats. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked this question, that if 2 hungry wolves are let loose, what damage will they cause? They said considerable damage. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the damage and the harm and the destruction that these 2 hungry wolves will cause to those herd of goats, that is nothing in comparison with what damage greed, with what damage greed and jealousy causes to the iman of a person. What damage those 2 wolves cause is nothing. This greed and jealousy, what damage it causes is worse than that. Now look at the simple example, but what depth there is in that. That this person who has built up his iman, the person is working hard in the building up of his iman. He is making his salat, he is giving his zakat, he is performing his hajj, he is making zikr, tasbih, and he is doing everything. But because of this jealousy that he has got, and because of that greed, then he loses out and everything is destroyed. More destruction, more harm, and more damage is caused. Then what damage those two wolves will cause to those sheep or to those goats when the wolf is hungry. Now it means that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving us a lesson that do not just be content with your ibadat, with your zikr, with your tilawat. Also look at the other side, that you have to protect it. You have to safeguard it from damage being caused to it by greed, by jealousy, and by these type of sins. Because when the person is jealous and envious, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Inna al-hasada ya'kulu al-hasanat kama ta'kulu an-nar wal-hatar." That hasad eats up hasanat, the good deeds of a person. Hasad and jealousy just eats it up, it consumes it, it burns it up. Just as fire burns up dry wood. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam uses the word eat up, like how it eats it up. When it burns it up, it is as if it is eaten up. What does fire do to the wood? It doesn't eat it up, it burns it up. But the word eating it up conveys a very strong meaning, that it burns the whole thing, it eats it up, as nothing is left after that. So this person has accumulated, he has gathered. It is as that person, that example that I give, that he works very hard, and after the whole month's business, he has accumulated $1 million, million rands. Now he takes it, puts it in a box, in a packet, in a bag, and he moves towards the bank. But on the way, he is hijacked, and the million is gone. A whole month's effort, or whole year's effort, but it is gone within seconds. Or the person had in his own home plenty of cash and plenty of other goods, and then fire caught on, may Allah protect, and everything is burnt. So this person works so hard, he gets up for Fajr Salat, he makes wuzu when it is cold weather, he goes to the masjid, then he is engaged in zikr, in tilawat, in ibadat, in so many things, and then jealousy, envy, and everything is gone. Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, this beautiful share, many times I have mentioned in my majlis, but it just comes to mind again now. Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Why are you burning yourself in this fire of jealousy? Why are you going towards the fire of Jahannam? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz. Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz. Kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? Are you unhappy about the distribution of your Allah, the Creator, His distribution, you are unhappy? In other words, Allah Ta'ala should have taken mashwara from you. He should have asked you that how much must I give to this person? How much must I give to that person? What kind of wife must I give to this person? What kind of wife must I give to that person? What kind of clothes? What kind of shelter? What kind of cars? What kind of wealth? Must Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make mashwara with us first? Allah in His wisdom, He knew who to give how much. Some people He gave plentiful, because if He didn't give them, they would have lost the iman. And some people He does not give them, because if He gives them plentiful, they will lose the iman. Allah Ta'ala knows in His hikmah, in His wisdom, what is best for whom. So therefore He says that hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? In fact, many people, when they write to me that we have got the sickness of jealousy, then I write this poetry there. I said, keep this in front of you. Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz. And I underline that. Read that 12 times. Your sickness will disappear. Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz. Kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you rubbing your palms in regret? That hi, why I didn't get this? Why I didn't get that? And you think you will just get it by being jealous like that? So many things are happening because of this jealousy. So many things. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the damage that those wolves will cause is not as much as the damage that jealousy and greed causes. There's no limit to the greed of a person. Once greed settles in the heart, then there's no limit to whatever the person gets. There's no limit. The person will never be satisfied. There will never be contentment. How can there be contentment when there's no end to greed of a person? So the fulfillment of that greed is in Jannat. That desire to get more and more and more, and to enjoy everything, every ni'mat, that is in Jannat. The person, whatever he desires, Allah Ta'ala will give it to him there. And for example, if his desire is fruits, then the same kind of fruit, but different taste in every fruit. And then look at the description that the hadiths give of those fruits. In everything else, there will be no limit to the enjoyment, because there will be no stomach ache after eating. There will be no urinals and toilets there in Jannat. Any amount of food the person can eat, any amount he can wear, and everything he can enjoy. So this world, there must be contentment, there must be satisfaction. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now this is the example that he gives. Now if we have to discuss this, it requires hours, but let's go take another example which comes to mind. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." The dunya is a prison for the believers, and it is jannat for the kuffar. For the disbelievers it is jannat, and for the believers it is a prison. Now when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said this, He did not mean that in the prison a person doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, doesn't wear clothes. We're not talking about the inhumane conditions that Americans keep some of the Muslims in Camp X-ray. We are talking about general conditions in a prison, that there will be some food, there will be some drink, there will be some clothes, there will be some shelter, there will be some kind of bedding, although it will not be like that which that person enjoyed at his home. But in prison there is some kind of provisions. So why did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam give this example? Because sometimes it happens that the person who is not a believer, is a disbeliever in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he too is suffering in this world. Whereas if we say it is jannat for the kuffar, then it must be enjoyment for every person that is disbeliever. And if we say that it is prison for the believers, then for every believer it must be like a prison. So one is the explanation that Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave, and he said that it is referring to the akhirat, that in comparison with the ni'mats that the person will enjoy in this world, that the disbelievers, no matter how much of ni'mats they get in this world, but in the akhirat the punishment that they are going to get in Jahannam, they will forget, they will not even think that they enjoyed any kind of ni'mat. Even if they had 100 years of luxuries, but just that little fire of Jahannam and everything will be forgotten. And for the disbeliever and for the believer, no matter how much of difficulties and how much of hardships and how much of problems he may have undergone in this world, but when he will enter into Jannat, long before Jannat, when he's in his qabr, if he was a true believer in Allah Ta'ala and he was going through trials and tests, he will be told, Nam kanawmatil aruz, now sleep like the new bride sleeps, nobody is going to get you up now till the day of Qiyamah. So for this person, no matter what difficulties and hardships and trials he goes through, but his enjoyment will be unlimited. So the real pleasure and the real punishment is in the akhirat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this world, he gives to both the believers and the disbelievers according to his wisdom. But generally, dushmano ko aishabo gil diya, aur dosto ko apna dil darde dil diya. Dushmano ko aishabo gil diya, اور دوستوں کو اپنا درد دل دیا ان کو ساحل پہ بھی تغیانی ملی ہم کو طوفانوں میں بھی ساحل دیا. He says, when you look at the disbelievers enjoying their cars and their homes and their seaside cottages and their plane travels and everything else, and they are disbelievers in Allah تبارک و تعالی, then he says, you must think that دشمنوں کو اے شاب و گل دیا, that what they have got, just toys of sand and water. Everything is made of earth. The steel is from the earth, the gold is from the earth, the silver is from the earth, the platinum is from the earth, the wood is from the earth. So if they got beautiful home, they've got beautiful everything, it is everything of the earth. Aur doston ko apna dard dil diya. He says, don't look at their enjoyment and their pleasure and their fun and their entertainment and their sing-song and their merriment. It's Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given them that. It's for a few years of life. Let them enjoy themselves with these toys of the world. But for the Ahlullah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for the believers, he has given them his muhabbat. Dard dil means muhabbat. Allah Ta'ala has given them this, his muhabbat. Now in Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat, they are so engrossed and so intoxicated that all these things won't mean anything to them. But again, we must not make a mistake. I repeatedly say this because sometimes we tend to misunderstand and then look down upon any person and every person who's got some wealth or some property or some car, good car or good home. If that person has got good home, good car, good and plenty of wealth and oil well, but he is a true believer in Allah Ta'ala, he is a wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then it is ni'mal mal, it is very good. We are not talking about those type of people, but those are exceptions. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he says that this dunya is a prison for the believers and jannat for the kuffar, the true meaning is this, that in this world a Muslim has to lead a very disciplined life as the life of the person who is in a prison. In the prison, the person has to be very, very disciplined. He gets up with a bell and he goes to sleep with a bell. He must go to the toilet with a bell and get up from the toilet and run out if it is time for drill and exercise with the bell. He must eat with the bell and he must sleep with the bell. Everything is disciplined. He can't wear the clothes that he desires. He must wear the type of clothes that are prison regulation clothes. He cannot eat the food that he wants. There's regulations what kind of food he can eat. He just cannot go anywhere, anytime. Everything is disciplined. So for the believer, this world is a life of a prison, means that his life is a very, very disciplined life. He gets up before the sunrise. He can't get up after sunrise, because he's a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's a prison for him, means that he must get up before sunrise. And whatever is the time of the Fajr Salat with Jamaat, then if there is a masjid nearby, then that is his duty, that he must make it for the masjid and make namaz with Jamaat, because he's a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Dunya sijnul mu'min. In the same way, this person, he cannot just wear any kind of clothes. He's a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So his clothes must distinguish him from the clothes of those who are the disbelievers in Allah. His clothes must distinguish him from those clothes which are the clothes of film actors and actresses, and relates him to those people who are openly indulging in vices and sins. So those type of clothes he mustn't wear. He must wear those type of clothes which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have made permissible for them to wear. The food, he just cannot go and eat anything and drink anything. He cannot just go and drink anything just because it's wine, so now he wants to drink the wine. In fact, if you look at it, the two things that are prohibited, besides the other things, but which are very serious and haram to the extremes, one is wine, and the other one is over the wine, you just add an S and become swine. So pig and wine. That's all, you just add one S. So this person who is a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and this dunya is a prison for him, ad-dunya sijnul mu'min, then if it is pork, then he cannot eat. If it is wine, he cannot drink. If the animal is a halal animal, it's a goat, it's a sheep, it's cattle, halal animal, but if it's not slaughtered halal, now he cannot eat. And so many other things. So this person will be always regulated. His whole life is regulated. The person who is a disbeliever in Allah Ta'ala and Jannat and Jahannam and Akhirat, any woman that is of his desire, then as long as there is no government regulation restricting him, then he will indulge in adultery or fornication. But this person who is a believer in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he will say that this dunya is a prison for the believers. So I am a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so my life is regulated. So I am going to ask my Allah whether it is permissible for me or not, whether this woman is halal for me or not. So if it is the woman that is of the kuffar, of the mushrikeen, then he is not going to marry her, because Allah ta'ala has declared her haram. So his marriages are regulated, his food is regulated, his clothes is regulated, his travel is regulated, his times of getting up and sleeping are regulated. He just can't sleep at any time and any time, every time. The person who is the disbeliever in Allah, it is Jannat for him, so he can sleep any time. There's no question of Fajr and Isha and Maghrib, and you haven't made your Zohar as yet, how can you sleep until Asr time? There's no such thing. Because he's not a believer in Allah Ta'ala, it's Jannat for him. In Jannat there's going to be no regulation there, that you can't eat this, you can't drink that, you can't wear that. So dunya will, in Jannat will be for the believers in the Akhirat. In the Akhirat, in Jannat, there will be no regulations for the believers. So this is a Jannat for the Kuffar, so they will enjoy themselves. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's example. Son, just two little words, ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. Finish. But if you have to go into it, there's so much in it. And the person, for his hidayat, for a Muslim and for a believer, for his hidayat, just that much is sufficient. That every aspect of his life, he wants to know, why am I controlled? You are controlled because of dunya sijnul mu'min and jannatul kafir. So for the kuffar, it is Jannat. Why should we look at them? In fact, they must get somewhere some Jannat for all their good deeds that they do. They must get something. So they get it in this world. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give, as I think I mentioned in some other majlis or a Jummah talk, that why people say that if a person committed kufr for 50 years, then he must be in Jahannam for 50 years. And if a person was a believer for 50 years, then he must be in Jannat for 50 years. Why must he get unlimited Jannat? And why must this person be in hell forever and ever? Khalidina fiha abada. The reason is that you are getting your Jannat, or they are getting their Jahannam, on their niyat. That if a person has to ask a believer that how long or for how many years do you intend remaining a believer in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? For 10 years, for 100 years, for 200 years. He says, even if I live a billion years on the surface of this earth, I want to remain a believer in Allah. So now on that niyat of his, that he wants to remain a believer, even if he has to remain billions of years, then he's getting that Jannat on his niyat. And if you have to ask that person who is a disbeliever in Allah, who is a Christian, who is a Jew, who is a Hindu, that is a different thing, that sometimes they get hidayat and they accept Islam later on. But at that time in their lives, when they are truly and sincerely believing that they are on haq, at that time if a person has to question them that for how many years do you intend remaining a Christian, he will say, for all my life, even if I have to remain billions of years, I am not going to give up my belief in Trinity. So for his niyat, he is going to remain there forever and ever. Allah is very, very fair and just. It is our lack of knowledge that we don't understand many issues. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave this example. Now this again is a beautiful example. If you have to keep on discussing, we can carry on. But let us take another one. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now how can you explain the happiness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? When a person makes tawbah, then Allah ta'ala gets very happy. Now we can say that Allah ta'ala becomes very happy. But how can you explain that to the ordinary Bedouin, the person who doesn't have much knowledge of the ma'rifat and haqiqat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Jannat, Jahannam and all that? So now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gives that beautiful example where he says that an example of how Allah ta'ala becomes extremely happy and pleased when a person makes tawbah, when he returns, when he repents, when he is ashamed of the sins that he has committed and he returns to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives an example. He says a person is mounted on his camel, he's got his water, he's got his food, what we may term as he's got his tiffin with him, and he's on the move. And then on the way, he goes and rests beneath the shade of a tree. The camel got loose and disappeared with his food, with his drink, with whatever was on it. The camel disappeared. Now in the desert lands of Hijaz, now this person, he is totally lost in those jungles. Now he doesn't know which way to go. It goes whichever side he goes, he can't seem to find a way out. And it's very hot, extremely hot. I'm just giving you my own words. The person is in a state of complete bewilderment. There's nobody to assist him, help him, show him the way out. And it's extremely hot and his camel is gone. Now there's no food, there's no water. So this person is now starving too, is hungry too. And he loses all hope that now there is no hope of survival. So due to his extreme weakness, now he lies down on the ground and he closes his eyes, and now the only thing he prepares for is death, because he knows nothing else. Now death will overtake him, so he's getting ready for death. Suddenly something whispers in his ears that your camel is here. When he opens his eyes, he sees his camel there with the food and with the drink and everything. Wow. How happy, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, will this person get? So the sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah sallam, you get extremely happy. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, in that happiness and in that excitement, instead of saying, oh my Allah, anta rabbi, you are my Rabb, wa ana abduk, and I am your slave, instead of saying that, he reverses the whole thing and he says that ana rabbuk wa anta abdi, oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Rabb. In that excitement, he's completely lost. He got so excited that he says, oh Allah, now you are my slave, I am your Rabb. Instead of saying the other way around, that you are my Rabb and I am your slave. So that excitement, that happiness, that joy, now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, by means of this example, he gives to those sahaba ikram, explains to them how happy Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gets when a person who has gone far away from deen or from sharia, or he committed some sin or indulged in some evil action, and now he's ashamed, he's regretting, he's making tawbah and istighfar, and he's asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So in this state of his, when he's asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala gets even more happier than that person who had lost his camel, and when he was preparing for death, suddenly he finds his camel, the happiness that he gets. Now look at that example. Now how it encourages a person, that don't despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, no matter how far we may have gone. But there is no such thing as despairing of his mercy, that now what? Will my Allah forgive me? Allah will get extremely happy and pleased if this person is ashamed. But there is no place in Islam and Sharia and in Deen for the person who says that I want to make Tawbah and just carry on with my sinful life. That means the person says, when he's making Tawbah also, he's got no interest in giving up any sins. It is unlike that person who is making Tawbah and accidentally or again it, his nafs and shaitan are so powerful and they get him that he falls into trap again. Sometime within seconds again he falls into the same trap. But he has no intention of going back to that. Again that Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's beautiful couplet. Ye kushti to hai unse umr bhar ki, kabhi to dabale, kabhi wo dabale. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chode. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chode. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo sau baar toote to sau baar jode. This rishta of muhabbat, this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of love, don't break that. Even if your tawbah breaks 100 times, make tawbah again and connect yourself with Allah ta'ala. For where are we going to go if we are going to distance ourselves from Him? If we are going to say, I'm angry with my Allah, na'uzu billah, then where are we going to go? Is there another Allah that we can turn towards? An unemployed person, he says that I've lost my faith and trust in wazifas, in du'as and in tahajjud and in salatul hajat. I've lost my trust in all that. So therefore I started my cinemas and my videos and my movies and everything. I don't know who the person is. It's the first time he has written and he's not from here. So this is what I replied, that if you are going to, besides the other things, to give him some consolation and give him some encouragement, but finally that where are you going to go? Who are you going to turn towards? Is there another Allah besides Allah in whose hands your sustenance and your life and everything lies? And if you are going to get angry with him, you think you are going to succeed in overpowering him or something? And if you are going to indulge in sins, it's not going to solve your problem. In fact, the indulgence in sins is the cause of all this problem of yours. Because when this person was making ibadat or whatever he must have been making, it seems that he was making it for the sake of health and for the sake of wealth and for the sake of this and that. When did he make it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? I say, the more the water of the ocean you are going to drink, the more thirsty you are going to feel. And if you think that by committing sins then you will get over your problems, then it is like washing stool and blood with urine. With sins you are trying to solve a problem which has come because of sins. Because if it was a test from Allah Ta'ala, then this would not have been the condition. Anything that is a test from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, inside the heart there is still sukoon. That trust and that faith and that yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala becomes even more strong. The Sahaba Ikiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, when the difficulties came upon them, they said, this is what we had been promised. That means they expected it. The trials will come. So these trials have come. So their iman became even more strong. That's what Allah Ta'ala says. So when the person in difficulties and hardships, when he says that I'm losing my trust in Allah Ta'ala, or what is the sense of carrying on with namaz and zikr and tilawat and salatul hajat, I'd rather just go and enjoy myself, because my Allah is not fair, na'uzu billah, is not just, So where are we going to go if we are going to get unhappy and displeased with Allah Ta'ala? In what times we are living? And I'm not talking about people that are jahils and ignorant. There are so many people who are hafizes of Quran Sharif, and they talk things like this. So we must be very much careful. Shaitan and nafs, these two are very powerful and strong at present. It's times of fitnas. The person doesn't even realize what statement he has made. Now this person, if he's married, then his nikah has ended and terminated. He must make nikah again. First tawbah, read kalima and make nikah again. But so many people make this kind of statements and then they don't make tawbah, they don't make nikah again. Then the children that are born of such marriages are illegitimate. Now when those children grow up and become disobedient and they become a curse upon the parents don't know what happened. But they forget that some years ago this is what we had said. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives this example that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes so pleased with that person. That it is more, he gets more happiness than that person who had lost his camel. So these type of examples Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave and encouraged us or brought us on track or connected us with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very, very easily. If you have to look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they are filled with these type of examples. If you have to look at the Quran Sharif, so many places, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةِ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَثَلْ so many places, the example of this, the example of that, the parable of this, the parable of that. So that we may understand, so that it may make it easy for us to understand. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and give the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, na nari hai. It is with amal that either you make your jannat or you make your jahannam. When the person is born, he is neither a jannati nor a jahannami. We don't believe in the original sin that everybody is destined for jahannam. We believe that everybody is born on fitra. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives man intelligence, willpower, and after that he chooses the direction that he wishes to go. Either he will go in the direction of jannat or the direction of jahannam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala creates that conditions where the person can acquire knowledge, he can learn, he can find out more about deen, he can find out about what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah are pleased with. After that, if he doesn't make amal, then he himself has built up his jannat or he has built up his jahannam. Without amal, the person is not going to go into jannat. It is Allah ta'ala's prerogative. If he forgives someone, that is his prerogative. But Allah ta'ala has also got some usools. And the person who is destined to go for to jannat, then the signs in this world Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives, that he has a lot of hope. When he makes his ibadat, zikr, tilawat, he tries his level best to do that which Allah is pleased with. And he doesn't have very much confidence on his ibadat, zikr, tilawat, that they are of that caliber, of that quality, that it will lead him to jannat. But because of his constancy, because of his continuous zikr, tilawat, ibadat, he builds up such a connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he has high hope after that. That my ibadat is not really worth much, but my Allah is so Rahim, is so Kareem, is so merciful, so forgiving, so compassionate, that in this world, in spite of my sins, if he concealed my weakness, if he continued to give me food and drink and clothing and shelter, so then this broken ibadat of mine, he will accept it and give me jannat. He starts having a hope in Allah Ta'ala. But the farmer who does nothing, he doesn't plant the seed, he doesn't plow the land, he doesn't water the crops, he does nothing, and he has high hope that we'll get a very beautiful crop here. So then he will sit there and keep waiting, he won't get anything. But the person who has plowed the land, he has planted the seeds, he's pouring the water, and then if he is hoping that there will be some good crop, then we will say that this is a sensible person, that he has done what he had to do, but now it is in Allah Ta'ala's hand. Either it will be something that will grow from the earth, or sometimes it could be that while it is growing there's hailstones or there's plenty of snow or something and everything is destroyed. But the thing is that he made the correct effort. So that is all that we are required to do, make the correct effort and then trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، خطاؤں کو معاف فرما، لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما، صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطاءً ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ ہمیں صحت دے، عافیت دے، سلامتی دے، عزت دے، راحت دے، مغفرت دے، تیری معرفت دے، تیرا یقین دے، تیری ذات کے اوپر توکل دے. اے اللہ دنیا بھر کے اندر جہاں کہیں مسلمان پریشان ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. او اللہ اسپیشلی ان فلسطین. Oh my beloved Allah, Masjid Aqsa is in danger. Ay Allah, the Muslim Ummah is in danger. Ay Allah, Tu un musalmano ke hal par raham farma. Ay Allah, Tu un gharibo par raham farma. Ay Allah, un mazlumo par raham farma. Ay Allah, zalim ka haath tu rok le. Ay Allah, ya to unko hidayat de, ya aad aur samud ki tarike se unko halak aur barbaad farma. Oh Allah, create division and disunity amongst the ranks. Oh Allah, assist and help the Mujahideen of Palestine, of Kashmir, of Afghanistan, of Chechnya, Bosnia, India, and all parts of the world. Oh Allah, Rasool-e-Pak, Salasam ki ummat aaj pareshan hai. There is no one to pass the hand of affection and love over their heads anymore. Oh Allah, there are so many Muslim countries. They are just observers, oh my beloved Allah. And they are pleading to the United Nations to come to their assistance. Oh my Allah, where are they? Oh Allah, give them the hidayat to come to the assistance of the Muslim brothers and sisters who are dying. Ey mere Allah, tu unko hidayat de. Ya to phir un hukumaton ko tu badal de. Ey Allah, tu hum sab ki hifazat farma. Har qisam ke fitne se hifazat farma. اے اللہ دین کے جتنے کام ہو رہے سب کو قبول فرما، سب کو اخلاص کی توفیق سے مالا مال فرما. جب موت کا وقت آئے تو ہمارا خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ، بھائی بہن جو بھی انتقال کر گئے ان کی بھرپور مغفرت فرما، جنت الفردوس میں اعلیٰ مقامات عطا فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.